We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Jack Ramsey's Danny Morang. No Brandon Sprague. Instead, I'm joined by somebody much, much, much more handsome. Portland Trailblazers guard Anthony Simons checking in for the fifth time. It's become becoming a ritual now. Every year, whether it's here or outsiders, appreciate you taking the time. You've had some life changing stuff come up recently, so I appreciate you taking some time away and getting away from All Star break, as it were. We'll dive into some stuff right now. Just kind of the simple way to go about this, I think, is how are you doing right now, physically, mentally, emotionally? What has the season been like for you? Just kind of set the tone for where things are for you, what, 50-plus games into the season?
No, I think this season's been great for me. You know, I think I've, you know, played well, you know, dealing with the multiple circumstances we had to deal with as a team, whether it was injuries or, you know, being in there with a whole bunch of young guys and trying to, you know, navigate that and, you know, still trying to be me and be successful. So it's been a great learning year. You know, obviously, you know what I mean, a lot of change. And, you know, I'm the focal point now on most nights, you know, for the opposing team, and just trying to figure it out, you know what I mean, play that chess game that, you know what I mean, a lot of the good players do, and try to be successful within that. So I think it's been good for me. You know, emotions up and down sometimes, but, you know what I mean, that comes every year, you know. Every year is a new problem and a new obstacle for me. And, you know, I always see myself, you know, getting out of those situations and becoming better after that.
You know, you're talking about growth and being the focal point, you know, the places that you've kind of, or the growth levels you've gone through over the last couple of years, you had kind of small opportunities in the last year and a half when Dame went down, and you had some opportunities to kind of step into that and show what you could do. What's different about that period and now between teams were kind of game planning for you? Like, yeah, you're on the top of the board, but, you know, it's still, Dame's still there. Even though he's not playing, it's like, okay, we need to worry about Ant and then kind of progress our way through. But now coming in game one, day one, you're at the top of the scout. So what's the difference going about your business night in, night out, with knowing full well kind of how things stack up and how difficult that is when you only really get to play a half before you have the thumb injury and then have to kind of reset it?
Right. I think the difference is it wouldn't be as consistent, you know what I mean, with the coverages. You know, there'll be some teams that would, like, really take me serious and play me the same way they would play Dame. Speaking on last year. And then there'll be some nights we'll be like, all right, we're going to see if he just got it going tonight. You know what I mean? They'll just try to test me. And so I think that's the difference between then. It's like, you know, more people kind of recognizing, you know what I mean, you know, my ability to be able to affect the game in that way. And so this year is just – you know what I mean? It's been most of the time every night. I mean, there would be some teams, once in a while, you'll get a team that's like, all right, we just going to see what he can do tonight. You know what I mean? And for the most part that I could think of, I, you know what I mean? That, I mean, I haven't had a bad game when they give me an inch of like room. So, but obviously, most of the time when you see the most of the problems is when they full blown. It's the game plan is get the ball out of my hands, and you know that's been the most challenging thing is, and it made me really watch. You know, I was watching film before, but now like I'm really into it because I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out and be able to execute in the game. It's not just like, all right, this play you should have did this. It's now like, all right, I recognize it, and I know the next team gonna do it, so I got to be prepared for it. So now I see myself in the game like it's honestly just more thinking than doing. Like I'm not, you know, really in my head about, you know, making shots. It's just about like, all right, how I'm going to be able to, you know, manipulate the game right now in order to get an easy shot for myself or the team. So that's been the, you know, the kind of game I've been playing all year. And I think, you know, sometimes some nights it's like, you know, they throw in a crazy coverage and I can't, you know, I mean, it's hard to get shots, hard to get a shot off. And so I have to, you know, sometimes I see myself in early in the game sometimes, you know, especially like a couple months ago where I only shoot like 12 shots in the game. And so I'm just trying to figure out like, you know, I mean, how can I get a quality shot for myself? In those moments, and you know what I mean? Sometimes it's you know what I mean? The team is not allowing you to do it. I mean, by any means, get a ball out of his hands. Like, you know what I mean? You not going to get a wide open shot. If so, it might be one and a half. You know what I mean? So you got to kind of balance it because, you know, obviously you want to be aggressive. You know what I mean? Still be yourself. And so, but you don't want to be shooting no crazy shots every single possession, you know, get the ball. So that's why I've been trying to balance. So, you know what I mean? You know, people might seem like I'm not being as aggressive. I really am. It's just they doing everything, they playing it perfectly and getting the ball out of my hands. And so that's when the times you know what I mean, trust your teammates and you know, hope they make the right play. And that's what we've been working on as well too.
Something you and I have talked about this year is that this is really your first season as a point guard. The first true season as a like you've had opportunities here or there, but this is your first true season as a lead guard in the NBA, knowing full well you're going to be the one. And one of the things you just kind of hit on was the idea that some nights you do have to take some crazy shots. And I know Dame was a guy who told you, because I know I heard him tell you, you know, the idea of some nights you got to take crazy shots. Some nights you can't settle. And how is that? What has the challenge been for you to try to find, like, hey, look, offensively, I know that they're trying to get this ball in my head. Let's use Minnesota as an example. Jaden is hellacious defensively. Ant can guard up on anyone. Conley's is about as smart as they get. And on the back line, you've got Rudy, who's just waiting for you there.
Right.
That's been a difficult challenge for you playing them because they are the best defense in the league. What is the process that you kind of have to balance in game with a team like that while they're simultaneously trying to get the ball out of your hands, but knowing you also have to try to find something to keep their coverages honest?
Right. I think with Minnesota, I mean, obviously, like you said, they're super sound defensively. You know, they don't miss helps. They're always in the right spot. You know what I mean? So if I'm playing pick and roll and I got Rudy Gobert in it, you know what I mean? There's a guy waiting in the paint for me too. It's almost like a cat, a bigger dude. So, you know what I mean? I wouldn't say cat is a rim protector, but he's also a big body as well still. You know what I mean? So, and he did pretty well, you know, verticality wise in our last game. So, you just can't go in there thinking it's going to be easy layups. You know what I mean? So you have to manipulate the game in order to get something. You know what I mean? Whether it's going before the screen comes, finding some seams in transition where you can get a one-on-one matchup and they might not be helping as much in the paint. You know, trying to find some catch and shoots if you can quickly. You know, just find little pockets you can be aggressive in. So that was the challenge. I mean, obviously, like you said, they're a great team. Obviously, the number one team in the West. And, you know what I mean, they're good. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a tough night, You know what I mean? In that case of where what like of just going out there and playing the way you want to play. You know what I mean? They're gonna try to take that away. And so, you know, that's just been the kind of been my learning, you know, my learning process all year is just figuring out a way to be you when not I won't say all the odds are stacked against you, but you know what I mean, when it's everybody's solely trying to get the ball out your hands. You know what I mean? So you know, like you said, Dame told me like it's gonna be you know what I mean, sometimes it's gonna take tough shots. And that's kind of the mindset I would sometimes juggle with, you know what I mean? Like early on is, you know what I mean, I wanna make the right play and get the team going, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing more demoralizing on their coverage is when I'm still doing what I do normally. You know what I mean? To their cover. So
when you can raise up at 30 and still break their trap or their double team, it can definitely break a defensive game plan. Speaking of defense, we'll talk about something you love here, your defensive reputation.
Oh yeah.
How do you feel about your growth defensively and where you are right now versus what the perception is of your defense?
You know, personally, I think it's mostly, I got a bad rep on being a bad defender early, which is early in my career when I was, you know, barely getting any minutes. But
when you were a buck 75.
Yeah, that too. But I, honestly, looking back on it, like, that's honestly, especially my third year, that's like when I, at the end of that stretch of that season, only reason I was getting a lot, like starting to get minutes and got minutes in the playoffs is because I started really guarding. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't doing anything crazy on offense. I was just shooting threes whenever I was open. But, you know, that's like, those one of the hard, like I said, that's one of those unbeatable charges, unless, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's going to take multiple, I think it's going to take multiple seasons. And I think this year, as my defense has been, it's been great. It just like, I would say it's not consistent.
I would have
my moments where I'm like fall asleep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I do see that for sure. But I do think there's a. I do put in effort though. That's one thing that I don't like. I mean, if people say it, I don't put any effort. I do put in effort. There's guys on there don't put no effort in. I be seeing. You know what I mean? They just like, all right, go ahead, go by me. I don't accept that. You know what I mean? I don't accept, you know, people just going on me easily. That don't sit right with me. They might do it. You know what I mean? But like I said, you know, I feel like everybody, defense is hard in NBA nowadays. In general, there's so many guys that's so good, so crafty. You know, like, it's just better offensive players. They can make tough shots. They can get to the foul line. Some, you know, especially the good players, they get to the foul line and they put you in a position where you don't want to foul, so you don't want to be aggressive on defense. And so it almost looks like he's blowing past people. They just a lot of people just scared to touch him.
On that, it's interesting. You obviously you've been in the league 6 years, but you're not an old head. Like you weren't around, you know, 20 years ago when Bron first came in the league, kind of a deal.
Right.
It was a different era, but you have seen some transition in the league, and you. Specifically, you've started getting to the free throw line more, so you understand the other side of it, generating free throws, getting to the line, of which you certainly have shown more emotion lately to certain striped uniforms. Do you think that the league has gone too far offensively, that there needs to be some kind of tweak or change to it to allow there to be something the defense can do?
Yeah. It's hard because I don't like the players have gotten so crafty with the, you know, the foul drawing and like once you look at it, it's like that's a foul. He just manipulated a play to get the foul call really well. And I don't know how they, you know what I mean, if there's a problem with that, I don't know how they're gonna fix that. You know what I mean? So
like needs to be more physicality allowed defensively?
Yeah, for sure. But I think sometimes they reward you for being a more aggressive team early. I think you see most of the time in games when the teams jumped on you like physically early in the game, then they kind of set the tone on how the refs are gonna call it. You know what I mean? Like, all right, they're being aggressive. We're not gonna just sit here and call 100 calls because they're being aggressive. You know what I mean? They can't call every single call. So I think sometimes it's based off how aggressive the team is being. And like I said, I mean some players just play into that very well and know how to draw it. I think that just comes from experience and trial and error. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like Norm is great with a sweep through. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But a lot of times, it works. And there'll be once in a while where Norm try to swing it up and throw it up and it hit the top of the backboard. But
It's those long
I mean,
arms.
trial and error of the call. And the people take note of that, and then next time they might call it. You know what I mean? So that's just the nature of, that area of the game of foul drawing.
What has that growth been like for you? Because you've gone from a guy who you just didn't draw free throws.
Right.
You historically, you're at 0.223, which for a 20 point per game score is a little lower, but is a pretty significant bump from where you're at historically. For your career, you were about 0.17. So you've got like a 5-6% increase in your foul drawing rate, which is not small. Like for reference, like 0.3 is really good, a solid number. So basically, a little bit less than one every out of every three shots is generating free throws. You're at about one out of a little under one out of every four. So you've gone from this process of not at all to a little bit more. What has that kind of been like for you as you've not only your relationships with officials and kind of campaigning for that, which I think you've recognized you have to do, right? Like you can't just play.
Right.
You have to campaign from like
Got the dialogue, yeah.
It's it, you have to push for it, whether people like it or not. It's a part of the game. You kind of have to, push things around a little bit way in your favor. But the physical side of this, I remember early on you said that when it was you were working on finishing, that part of foul drawing and getting to the rim was finishing your changing up your footwork. What has that kind of process been like as defenses are pushing you out a little bit further, picking you up a little bit further? Like, what has kind of changed that has allowed you to get better at that, and also kind of what do you need to work on to kind of keep improving that area?
Yeah, it's just I gotta find like certain times where it's the right moment. It's all about like the timing and the recognition fast enough to understand like, all right, this guy's arm is on me. I need to go up now. You know what I mean? And hook his arm a little bit and try to draw the foul there. And so, I mean, it just based off, you know what I mean, it's on a night and night basis. It might not work one night, it might work night another night. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know what I mean? It's not consistent in You know what I mean? Each and every night. So I think that's where I'm, like I said, that's where I'm at. Like I just, some nights I might get the call, some night I might not, but you gotta continue to stay consistent to build kind of a reputation, you know what I mean, of what's gonna happen and continue to have dialogue with them and see where that goes from there. So but like you see guys have, the guys that are getting a lot of foul calls, they have that reputation. And so eventually they start, even if it's, might not consider it a foul, they get the benefit of the doubt. And so I feel like that's, like going back to it, that makes it easier for, for them to maybe get past the first offender or the second offender. He might not be as aggressive because he has this reputation of getting, some foul calls. And so that makes the defense, not as aggressive. They might let you go past them a little bit. The big might, once you get to the big and they playing up, they might let you go. It might not be a bump. You know what I mean? So some nights it's kind of different for me. So I think that's the biggest difference for sure.
So much about this season, not just for you, but the entire organization, is about growth because you guys are so young. You've been in the league 6 years, and you're the longest tenured member of the franchise now, but you're still not 25 yet. So you're still
Right.
going through your growth and your challenges. What about this season, the thumb surgery notwithstanding, has been the most challenging thing for you?
Obviously, winning and losing games, you know what I mean? That's probably easily the most challenging. Like going through, obviously, my personal growth as a player, that's challenging as well. But you know, just obviously everybody wants to win, you know what I mean? And understanding that you in this process of growing as, you know, as a player, as a young player, and then with a young team, you have to fall into the process of that. You know what I mean? Just to keep you sane, mm-hmm. you know? And
how hard is that? Because I think fans in general, not just in basketball, but across sports, when a young team or a franchise is resetting, are like, oh, it's no big deal. They get paid to do that. It's not easy to go into a locker room after a loss, right?
No. But you got to make that's one of the things that for a young team, you got to make sure that the players aren't numb to it. Know what I mean?
Like, how do you avoid that? Because you were in a locker room with Dame, who set a tone no matter what. So how do you guys kind of avoid like falling into that trap?
Like it has to be a constant message. Like, you know where we at. We know where we at, but this not going to be who we are for long, you know? And so I think everybody has a positive attitude going into each and every game. Like, you don't want to get into those modes where it's like, all right, we're not good. We about to lose this game. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where you see, you know, some young teams go into that, fall into that. You know what I mean? They just become numb to it. And I think for us, we haven't really become numb to it. Everybody's super competitive. And you know what I mean? You see, like, maybe games we shouldn't be in, we always in, you know, just because we want to win. You know what I mean? We're going to do whatever it takes. And we got players like that, you know, do whatever it takes to win. And so I think that's where it starts. You know what I mean? I think that's where – you see a lot of young teams kind of go in the downfall area, and they don't really get back up into where they supposed to do when they started the quote unquote rebuild. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, I'm most conscious of making sure that we don't fall into this trap of like, this supposed to be normal. You know what I mean? Like, nah, we want to be, you know what I mean? Next year, the year after that, we want to be in that conversation of one of the best teams in the league. You know what I mean? So we got to start doing this stuff now. Each and every day, we got to be consistent on what we want to do.
That trap was kind of laid for you guys on that road trip, where you guys, you know, you lose by 62 to Oklahoma City.
Oh, the road trip. Yeah, but that was not a great road trip.
What happened on that trip though that kept you guys from falling? Because that, if you're talking about those traps being laid, and you guys had injuries, a million things were going on. You didn't come back until halfway into that trip because you were sick as a dog.
Yeah.
What was it about that trip that didn't sink you guys? What happened on that trip that you guys were able to come out of that on the other side?
We had a conversation after the OKC game. We had like a group meeting. And everybody just voiced their opinions on stuff, you know what I mean, how the team should be, what their role is, what they think their role is, and, you know what I mean, just the overall opinion on what we need to do in order to get out of the hump. And so
Without naming names, kind of what kind of came out of that, though, as far as, like, what you guys needed to change and what you guys needed to
impact? I think it overall was just understanding of, you know what I mean, like, of each person and, you know what I mean, what they felt. And how, you know what I mean, you carry on to what we want to do collectively as a team and what you attribute to the team. And, you know, it made us understand each other a little more. Obviously, we're a new group. You know what I mean? We don't know each other that well. You know what I mean? And like I kind of pointed out like early on as well, like you see teams together for 3 and 4 years before they finally get a shot at the playoffs sometimes, or they finally get a shot at a championship. And so we shouldn't expect to pull it all together 1 year. You know what I mean? Unless something miraculous happens and we just instantly click magically. But we have to go through something in order to get out of something. You know what I mean? So I think OKC game is just one of those things. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna look back on it when we're, you know, a playoff team and win the playoffs, we're gonna look back at that 60-point loss and be like, we went through that together and we got out of it together. You know what I mean? So that's probably the best part about adversity. This is the reward of getting out of that.
The make or break of it.
For sure. And then obviously those moments make, like you said, make or break you. You know what I mean? Like, and I think, you know, after that conversation, we, we knew that, you know, I mean, we were gonna be all right. You know, I mean, we knew everybody was on one accord, and we knew it wasn't gonna start that night. You know, I mean, it wasn't gonna start the Minnesota game. We still lost pretty bad in the Minnesota game, but it was just something that we needed to get off our chest in order to build that same attitude each and every night.
Another fun topic for Blazers fans right now is head coach Chauncey Billups. What has been different about Chauncey this year for you, where he's looking to you to be the table setter? He's got to work with developing you, but he's also got to work with developing Scoot. And before Shea goes down, work with developing Shea, integrating DA, keeping JG and Malk, you know, as focal points. Like, what has that kind of been for you to kind of, as being the offensive focal point of this team, kind of what have you seen differently from Chauncey, good, bad, or otherwise?
I think, like I said, like, Chauncey's been through it all. And I say this all the time. You know what I mean? Chauncey's been through it all. He understands every position, most of everybody's position on the team. You know what I mean? He understands. He's been there in every position, everybody on the team. So he understands, like, obviously it's going to be tough. Even for a coach, it's tough. You know what I mean? For players, it's tough. You know what I mean? Going through losing and having to develop these players at the same time and having to deal with many personalities, like, that's a lot on anybody. You know what I mean? But I think he handled it as perfect as possible. He's had dialogue with everybody. We've had, you know, multiple conversations this year, just me and him talking about the team and what we need to do, what he want to see me get better at. What I tell him what I want to see and stuff like that. And, you know, I think I don't think he's a bad coach at all. Like, everybody loves him. You know what I mean? So I don't know if, you know, Blazers fans been saying stuff like, you know what I mean, like he's losing a locker room or something like that. But, like, that's not true at all. Everybody's willing to run through a wall for Chauncey every single time. You know what I mean? So it's not – I want to shut that down immediately because, you know what I mean, you gotta take account what Chauncey has to deal with his whole tenure here. He's had a different team every year, totally different roster, even at the trade deadline. So you might as well count two times every year. You know what I mean? So not counting this one, we didn't really change players, but every year we've had a new roster, including the trade deadline. So, like, as a coach, I can only imagine having to deal with that and the pressures of people trying to say you need to be winning with the players, but there's no constant roster you can work with. So how are you able to gel and integrate, you know, I mean, your philosophies on a team when it looks different every 6 months? So, like, that's all I wanted to say about that one. Because, like, everybody, if you ask every player on the team or any player who's you know, been coached by him, everybody loves Chauncey. So I don't know if there's any question about his players that got to go.
It's what I've tried to say for a while now, but I just want to make sure and get it out of you.
Yeah. Like, I got to shut that down immediately because everybody loves Chauncey. Like, I credit Chauncey for help, like, saving my career. Like,
how so?
We from the moment he first became head coach, we met in Vegas, and we had a conversation, me and him, and he asked me how I want to be coach. I said, coach me hard. Like, that's all I know. You know what I mean? And he gave me the opportunity when Dame went out with the injury, he gave me, like, this is you right here. He gave me, let me run point the rest of the season. And I had probably the best stretch of my career in that time. And so, like, him being able to give me that opportunity, even from the beginning of the season, like, me being able to come off and run back up point, you know what I mean? That was big for me too. I was very appreciative of him believing me and taking me in and teaching me even how to be a backup point guard before I, you know what I mean, a couple months later being a starting point guard. So I credit him to that, just helping me in that way and continue to see the game. You know, me and him, now as I'm, you know, seeing the game a lot more, me and him are having constant conversations back and forth during the game, like, hey, we should do this. I see this right here. Let's do this. you know what I mean, for DA, or do this for me, or do this for JG, or do this for Scoot. They can get wide open. They playing him like this. Have him in the corner, set him on the wing. So when we have somebody cut through, Scoot can be there to get him a wide open shot or something like that. That's the kind of conversation we have now. Just trying to play chess with the other team, how they're trying to play us.
What has that been like for you, being a young vet and having to adjust to your role full time as the one, while also adjusting to being off ball with Scoot at times and trying to develop yourself, but also understanding that he's in game 50 of his career and trying to figure out kind of where, because it seems like at every single level, whether it's you developing or you building a relationship with DA or JG trying to understand where Scoot's trying to get to, like there's so many levels to development in a relationship building. There's sub levels to it. So even though you're trying to develop as a point guard, Scoot's trying to develop those same patterns and tendencies and understanding those opportunities. And the conversations I have with him about learning those things sound like you 3 years ago. The very specific things that he sees that he wasn't seeing 4 months ago.
Right.
So how do you kind of balance, okay, you know, in the post game before we went to All-Star break, you'd mentioned like there was a time where like now that Scoot's starting to understand a little bit more, you can have him on ball and you can work off ball and he will be able to set you up now. Like he'll be able to like, hey, let's run a couple plays for you, get you kind of going off ball. So how do you kind of, how are you working through balancing those things right now where it requires that relationship building, that understanding, but also focusing on both your developments?
Yeah, it just comes from like, not really, well, the experience of being together out there on the court, but I think it is also like off the court, just having dialogue on what actions we like to run, you know, what play, a couple of plays that we like to run for each other or stuff like that. And you know what I mean? And continuing to kind of still be able to develop in our own right. You know what I mean? So the fact that, you know what I mean, he's a point guard. I feel like I'm a point guard. We're going to have to figure out, you know what I mean, how we're going to both develop at the same time in our own positions. So, I mean, lucky for me, like I played the two last year. You know what I mean? I feel like I was pretty successful at doing it. So it's easier for me to go off ball, you know what I mean, at the same time. And so, you know, that's kind of the beauty of the beast, you know what I mean? Me being able to, I feel like I played my best basketball at the one, and I can play the two, and I've been pretty highly successful at the two as well. So, you know, and I know Scoot is at his best at the one, and he's a young player trying to figure it out. So I'm not going to hinder him in that way and try to handcuff the point guard. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I want him to continue to develop and become the player he wants to become. And so that requires sometimes in some plays giving myself up and going back to where I was last year, which was still pretty good. You know what I mean? So that's what's going to have to happen. You know what I mean? But that's kind of sacrifices you're going to have to make in order to become the team you want to become.
What's the thing that you look at your game right now and say, I need to be better at this by the end of the next year, and then I need to take that into the summer and be better about it going into next year? Basically, what's the thing that takes you from where you are right now to being a star in the league or taking the next step beyond where you are right now?
Oh, foul drawn. Not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think continue to get stronger. That's pretty much it. But the foul drawing is probably number one on the list, because all the best players know how to get fouled, and you can almost control a game from the fouls naturally. You know what I mean? Like I said, once you get that reputation of this guy is prone to getting a lot of foul calls, a lot of teams ease up. I see it sometimes when I'm getting a lot of foul calls in games. Like, all right, they're not playing as aggressive. Mm-hmm. But when you're not getting foul calls and they're playing you aggressive, now you have to rely on tough shot making, and that's hard living for 82 games, you know? And so that's probably what makes it easier, because you see some games where, you know, guys don't necessarily shoot the ball that well, but they got 10 free throws, and that negated, they impacted the game also, obviously, with other things as well, but that kind of masked that bad shooting night just by getting free throws. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's what the best players do. They figure out to get to that free throw line, and they control the game in that way. And they keep the defense honest by, you know what I mean, being able to do that.
Your trainer, I should say trainer. He hates it when I call him trainer. Your skills coach, Phil Beckner. Him and I have talked throughout the season about your in-between game, the hooks, the floaters, the uniqueness of a guard having that kind of a in-between package. How do you go about developing that? It's unique for a guy at your position and your size, but also what is the off-season? Let me go ahead and rephrase this. I think a lot of fans think that kind of work comes in season, whereas most of that change goes into the off season and you kind of deploy it through the season, correct?
Right.
So how do you go into the off season and go, hey, Phil, I need to get better at drawing free throws? Like, what are the things that you need to do to take those steps to go, I'm here, I need to get to here? Like, obviously you train with a guy in Dame who's elite at it. And while he has a different style and a different build, you can take and pull things like your footwork that you already have.
Right.
So how, like, what is it that you do in the summer and go, I want to do X, and this is how we get there?
Yeah, and honestly, it might not even change after one summer. It might have to be two summers. It might have to be three summers before it finally click in the game and now you get it.
Took JG but 5 years to work on the no-dip three.
The no-dip three?
That's what he told me. Took him 5 years. It took,
you know what I mean? I feel like I would say it took me 2 years to two or three, like not to my third year where I finally was comfortable shooting the NBA three.
That step back?
Not just in general.
Oh, just in general. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It took me 3 years like to get fully comfortable every day. Like, all right, this is easy.
And now you like, flick it from 30 year, like it's nothing.
Yeah. My second year, like it'll be days where it felt like it was 2 feet away, and sometimes it felt like it was 100 yards away.
That's so my weird. Second year. That's so weird.
So like, it took me a while to get used to that NBA three. But yeah, like it's just sometimes it just takes a couple years. But I think it really is all about, you know, driving angles. That's one of the things that we emphasized, you know, this summer was fixing our driving angles. I mean, that can lead to more fouls, just putting that pressure on them at the point of the drive.
Mm-hmm. And by driving angles, you mean like taking angles as opposed to being straight on, getting a guy one side of you?
No, sometimes especially a lot of young guys, the tendency to going around because they're used to that in high school.
Gotcha.
Like instead of going driving at maybe that leg, they usually drive, try to go around them
because they're faster and they can just go around them.
Yeah, they go around, and obviously, like you see the biggest difference between that in high school, like. Even from the amount of dribbles it takes you to get to the rim. Like, that was one of the things also I had to learn is that it's not going to take one dribble for you to get to the rim anymore. That's over with. It's going to take you might two or three or four. So that was one of the things we learned was just driving and taking multiple dribbles and running through the finish. But back to the foul drawing, just the driving angle is like, if we get it a little bit tighter, that puts pressure on the man to either stay there or just run right through that hip, or you fall and they're gonna have to call the foul, or they let you go. You know what I mean? And so that Phil was mentioning stuff like what John Stockton used to do, especially in the fourth quarter when dudes are tired, he would sometimes intentionally just run to their hip and fall because they're just tired, they can't move. So he would just say like, those little things about the driving angles would help so much on foul drawing and just being able to get around your man faster. And I mean, so now like they playing, you know, aggressive coverages on me. And so the faster obviously, most of the time they say you don't be worried about the first defender. It's always the backline defender that you gotta look for. But the faster you get past that first defender in any situation, you're more valuable to get more easy looks at the rim, because now you know you can get a bomb anytime, and now you're picking your spots. Now they're not set up as easy. So now when coming down in transition and you see that open lane, you'll be able to attack it with that driving angle that we worked on in order to get to the rim faster before they can pull over.
Okay, I have to ask you this before I let you go. You guys are incredibly young, and incredibly young teams run a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've got to get stops to run. Why do you think you guys aren't running as much as you guys want to offensively?
I think it's just, honestly, everybody has to get in the mode of it. Like we have to be used to running and playing faster. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's becoming consistent in what we do. So we trying to become consistent in running every single night and playing fast. And I fall into it a lot because, especially like, not I want to say the older players, but like not used to running. You know what I mean? Like my first.
You played for Terry. You ain't used to running. You can say it. It's okay.
Playing for Coach Styles, we were the slowest paced team in the league, you know? So, like, that's the way I learned the NBA game, was playing, like, basically half-court basketball and not running and not playing fast. And that's how I learned. So sometimes I fall victim to it. Like, we want to get the ball out quick. Sometimes I'm like, catch it.
And take just a little look and see what's going on.
And they come in and call a pick and roll just like how we used to. So that's where like we trying to like get into the mode of moving it up faster, and you know what I mean, coach emphasizes it every single day, you know what I mean, to us and how we want to play, how fast we want to play. And I mean, it's fun to play like that, especially when you're getting stops. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not fun when you're not getting stops and you got to continue to.
You're running after pulling it out.
Look back and then try to run and go off of there. So, but it's been a fun transition and changing the way, you know, we play.
Hey, I want to thank you for taking some time. I know you're extremely busy now. Don't want to take away from your break. We'll get you out of here on this. What's what's one thing you want to take away from the rest of the season? You got, what, like 28 games remaining? What's down the stretch, what's the one thing you want to take away from this?
Man, that I learned a lot from, no matter what the defense throw at me, that I want to have, you know, what, somewhat of a glimpse of an answer for it. You know what I mean? That's why I think, obviously, it's, you know, kind of answer for everything, but I want to have a gist of how to beat it, you know? And how to beat it without, you know what I mean, taking me a long time or a game to
understand. Not be unprepared.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, all right, I go through a whole game and not understanding what's going on and I feel confused. I want to be able to at least understand it by halftime or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, all right, they play me like this. I see it.
You don't get caught like that Suns game anymore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that Suns game is brutal. Looking back on it, I wonder how I would handle it now. I don't think that was brutal. That was brutal.
2-on-2 trap the whole game, have fun?
That was brutal. That was one of the worst. what they say? They had me in hell.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team talked about it. I mean, you train with McHale, and you've gotten him back now twice, though. You've gotten your lick back twice.
I did get him back. I know that's my guy, though, so I don't like to mention nothing about it. I just see when I see him in the summer, I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry it was you.
Hey, with the same shot. That's cold, man.
Yeah, that's my guy, though. So I don't ever mention it, like, because I got too much respect for me. Okay, that's my guy.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. I'll see you back practice, Wednesday afternoon?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, hey, until then, take care. Everybody, thank you. Like, rate, view, subscribe. Do everything we do for here for the show. Big shout out to Ant for taking some time. And we'll catch you for the next show when Brandon will be back. Until then.